Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a reason for parables as we pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. Beginning in chapter 4, we have the beginning of the ministry of Christ in parables. There is oftentimes a mistaken opinion as to the reason why Jesus went to parables. The purpose of a parable is really not to veil the truth, but to illustrate the truth. And many times, when people become dull of hearing, where they will not receive just straight teaching, when you've lost the attention of your students, a method by which attention can be drawn back again to the subject is by illustration. Tell a story. We are all of us very interested in life and in things of life. And when you start to tell a story, suddenly people are paying attention again. And in the story, you are able to subtly illustrate the truth that you are trying to point out. In each of the parables of Jesus, there were truths that were being illustrated. Truths that the people would not listen to on just a straight teaching method. And so the parable form of teaching was adopted that you might continue to bring them the truth, only now in a more subtle way. Some of the parables the people understood very well. In fact, in some of the parables of Jesus, the Pharisees got very angry with him when they realized, that one hit us, you know. And many of the parables were directed against the Pharisees and their attitudes. Sometimes the thought that was being illustrated still went right over their head, but Jesus would then explain it to his disciples when they'd say, "Lord, what were you trying to get across?" And he would explain the parable to them in their private sessions. Now, Jesus said that these are pretty much the key to all of the parables. These parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. We covered these in Matthew's gospel, chapter 13. And Mark does add just a little bit that Matthew did not give to us. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. We remember last week that he ordered a little ship that he might be in it, because at this point the crowds were beginning to throng him. Someone had discovered that by touching Jesus they were healed. And so everywhere Jesus would go, people began to reach out to touch him. Verse 10 of the previous chapter, "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues." And so it became a common practice, if you had something wrong, just to touch him. And you can imagine how, after a time, that could be pretty vexing when people are pushing and shoving to get near you just so that they can touch you. And so when the multitudes were gathered, and multitudes mean multitudes, when they were out on the other side, and we'll be getting to that in a little bit, of the sea, when the people gathered, it said there were 5,000 men beside women and children. So if you assume that for every man there was a woman and maybe one child, you could have as many as 15,000 people that had gathered in a deserted area to hear him. So you can imagine the tremendous crowds that were now moving with him, necessitating his having to get a little boat and just shove off and be out in the water just a little bit so that he could address all of the people without being thronged or pressed by them. And so he began to teach by the seaside. There was gathered into him a great multitude, so he entered into a little ship and sat there in the ship by the shore, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he was sowing, that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, these people were basically an agrarian society. Practically everyone was involved in some way or other in agriculture. Even those who lived in the cities had their plot of ground in the country. And they all had their stone houses on their plot of grounds with their towers. And they would go out and plant in their fields, and they would harvest and live sort of out during the period of planting and harvesting, and then move into the towns in the winter times. But they were all of them close to the soil, an agrarian society. And thus, as Jesus is talking to them about farming, about sowing seed, he's taking something that is very familiar and very common with all of them. And as he describes the various types of conditions that the seed falls on, it was something that was extremely familiar to all of them. I heard a very interesting lecture from a sociologist who was talking about the change that has taken place in America as we have shifted from an agrarian society to an industrial society, the urbanization, and the effect that it has had upon our whole social life in the United States, in the family, and in our attitude towards children or having children. In an agrarian society, children are welcome. Every child born to the farmer represents about $10,000 worth of labor by the time the child reaches 18 years of age. They learn to do their chores early. They learn to drive the tractor. They learn how to plow a field. They learn how to work on the harvesters. And a child is looked upon as a blessing because he is an asset. And that is the reason why so many times on the farms, they had big families, lot of children, and they were all welcome. And boys more than girls, because they were able to work harder in the fields. But moving from an agrarian society to our urbanized type of society and industrial type of society, every child that is born represents a liability. They estimate now that it will cost you approximately $60,000 to take and raise your child from infancy to 18 years old or through college. So every child that is born, you say, who needs it? Another expense. And it definitely affects the way that we look upon children that come into the home. And this sociologist was saying, unless you understand this, you cannot understand the problems that we are faced with in our society today, as far as children are concerned, the rise of child abuse and all of these things that we just can't understand, can only be understood by the fact that from the turn of the century, the United States has developed from an agrarian society to more of an urbanized industrial society, where children no longer are an asset but a liability. What he said seemed to make a lot of sense. What Jesus said made a lot of sense. He was talking to people about things with which they are familiar, and that is so important. As he is giving this parable, they all had experienced these very things as they sowed their seed. And he was talking about things that were just down home. Now, when he was alone, those that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all of these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, is Jesus trying to hide the truth to keep man from conversion? No. As I said, parables are used to attract attention and to illustrate truth. But they were not listening to the teachings anymore. And yet it was important that they still hear the word. And so parables were adopted, even though in hearing they did not understand, yet it was important that they hear. God will be fair when he judges man. Everyone will have a chance to hear, even though they have closed their minds, their hearts. It's an amazing thing when a person's heart is closed to God and to the gospel. It's amazing how we perceive what is being said. You know, there are people that come to Calvary Chapel out of constraint. Their friends have constrained them to come. And it's amazing what they hear me say. You know, because they're just looking for something to jump on and to get angry about. And they're not really listening at all to the content of the message that we bring, but they are only listening to find something to fault, something to disagree with, something to get angry about, so that they can say, I'll never go back there again. And they want an excuse not to come back. And so they're not really hearing and not really wanting to hear. Now he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? And Jesus is now giving us a key. And in parables, there is this expositional constancy. If you don't know this parable, how are you going to know all parables? Here is a key to the parables. That is, the word or the seed is the word. Now, this is one of the keys to parables. Whenever in a parable you get to the seed being planted or whatever, know that the seed is the word of God. You see, he's saying, don't you know this parable? Then how are you going to know all parables? So he's telling you now this expositional constancy of what represents what. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the fowls of the air that come and pluck out the seed is actually Satan, who takes away the seed that is sown. It doesn't even have a chance to get root. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have received the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. So the parable of the sower is how the word of God is received in the hearts of different people. With some people, the seed never has a chance to even root. They're not open to the word of God at all. As soon as it is sown, their mind is set against it, and Satan plucks up that which was sown. Has no effect. There are others who get all excited, receive it with gladness and joy. And of course, we've observed these people. And they start off with a bang, but when persecution comes, a trial or testing, they fall away because there is no real depth. All they've had is an emotional experience. They've had the gladness, the excitement, but there's no real depth at all. And thus, there is that falling away the moment testings come. This third category is the category I'm interested in because I think that this category covers probably a greater number of people in the church than almost any other category. Those who receive the word, it begins to develop in their lives, but it is among thorns. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choke out the effectiveness of the word in their lives, and so there is no real fruit brought forth by them. Now, it is the Lord's desire that each of us bring forth much fruit. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But I think how often a person's work for God is thwarted or limited, that their lives are not really productive for the kingdom, because their hearts are drawn away. They're not sinners. They're not out and out rebellious against God. They love the Lord. They have the right desires for God. But they also have desires for the world, for the things of the world. And thus their lives never achieve what they should and could achieve for the glory of God because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for these other things have choked out that full fruitfulness that God would have them to bring forth for Him. It is so difficult to maintain the right priorities in this world today. pressures of the world are heavy, and it is so difficult to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all of the pressures that we are faced in our culture and society, based as it is so much around material things. That's the one that I would study and be most concerned in my own life. This is the thing that concerns me most in the parable. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciples, and that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." The greatest desire that I have is that my life bring forth fruit that does remain. Now, these are they which are sown on the good ground. They hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit in varying degrees, some 30, some 60, some 100.
With more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 4 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord cause his word to be established in each of your hearts and lives. And may you grow in grace and in knowledge of him. And may he, with his cords of loving kindness, just draw you unto himself, that you may ever experience a richer, fuller, deeper comprehension of that love that God has for you, his child. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today has published a New Testament designed for an unbeliever or a new believer, just as much as it is for a Bible teacher. Highlights include Pastor Chuck's commentaries that get right to the point on Scripture passages, Words of Christ in Red for easy reading, an A through Z topical scripture index covering over 250 topics relevant to life application, and a section that answers frequently asked questions such as, is there evidence of Christ's resurrection? And what's God's will for my life? So if you're looking for a Bible to give to a friend, or if you're a ministry that's been searching for a simple New Testament that does most of the teaching for you, then you'll enjoy the Word for Today New Testament with Pastor Chuck's commentary notes. To order, please call the Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org.